Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
He's Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And I feel we say this every week, but I don't know that we've had a week that's going to be quite this busy, which I think initially sounds like an awesome idea until you have to figure out, using the Ken Evans theory of UFC time management, that you'll be up till 2 o'clock in the morning, literally 4 days in a row.
Yeah, well, this is going to be interesting, too, because I keep forgetting the middleweight championship of the world is going to be defended.
Oh,
it is?
I'd heard nothing about that.
At this card. so I find this is an interesting use of the UFC resources here as far as what we actually needed on this card and what we're getting. I love what we're getting, but, man, it's a packed card this weekend. Plus, we got a lot of Ronda Rousey stuff we're going to get to, too, I'm sure.
Well, not only that. See, this is what I was talking about. You're missing. On Thursday, we have Fight Night 80.
Oh,
and then on Friday night.
I just already.
On Friday night, we have TUF 22. So that's what I mean. Like, I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Is Edgar Mendez this weekend?
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Are we sure on that? I'm
1,000%
right.
Sure.
Really?
Yes, that's part of the job is
wow.
To show up knowing when the events are. So
I mean, there was that one time, though.
I did. Yeah, there was that one time.
To be fair, it was like Bellator, though.
There was that one time, but we did eventually figure it out. So an extremely busy weekend, and one that we will cover as much as we possibly can here in the next hour. Also, our dear friend Tony Ferguson, who is fighting on Friday night against Edson Barboza, he will be joining us, which I'm very excited to talk to him. So we'll get to that, but let's jump right in.
Well, the great thing about a weekend like this is anytime we have anybody that we have a connection with, they've got to be on one of the cards.
Right, yes.
There's 17
something like
of them this
weekend.
Mean,
and Kevin Lee's on Friday night as well. So
He's Friday?
He is Friday, yes,
okay.
I believe, yes. So lots of stuff to talk about. We will jump right into UFC 194. I heard there are other fights, but I feel that there's only one. You pay $60 to see Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor finally lock them up. I mean, it is Monday when we're recording this, so I want to say that as loud as I possibly can because – there's still plenty of time for something to go wrong. That said, it looks
they
like
they can't be doing anything at this point, can they?
We would hope that Jose Aldo is surrounded in pillows right now and hiding on a bed, cutting weight or something. But this is a really fascinating.
Well, these champions have been exhausted going into fights. So
I can't even do that. I'm not even sure I can do that today.
Okay, like, we might do that later. I'm tired.
Oh my God. Like, give me a break. Seriously. Right, sorry, you ahead. Might be tired, but just shut up about it. Okay. Seriously. Just shut up. Okay. UFC 194. We've waited a long time to see what happens here because I think there are two or three schools of thought here. You have the mainstream fan who thinks Conor McGregor is brash and loud and heretofore my favorite fighter, and he's going to easily beat Jose Aldo. You have people on the other side of the fence who are talking about Jose's style. He hasn't been beaten in a decade, and I mean, arguably hasn't really been tested all of that much in that decade. Granted, the second time he faced Chad Mendez, it was a little bit of a struggle. When he went against the Korean Zombie, mm-hmm. It was a little bit of a struggle. He's had some struggles, but eventually he just powers through and makes it happen. What's interesting about this fight, before you even get into the cage, is the weight cut, because both dudes cut a tremendous amount of weight, although I feel, Ken, that Conor is able to manage that cardio better than Jose Aldo can.
Are you really going to say that after the last fight?
I am actually going to say that.
I mean, I know he won the fight.
He
was
injured, though. I mean, if we live in a world that I can just make excuses about everything, he's tired and injured and Irish, which was an injury. So you think Aldo's got a better gas tank? I just don't think that's a thing.
I think he's shown in the fights that he's had that, you know, he's been the dominant fighter, obviously, at this point.
Dominant for sure, but I mean,
he's won decisions two of the last three fights. Obviously, he got the TKO against the Korean Zombie, right? Was that one?
Yes.
Frankie Edgar, he went to a decision. So, I mean, he's done it a couple times. I'm looking things up right now. So I just think when you're the champion, and he's won a lot of unanimous decisions too. It's not like he was gassing out in the later rounds. He's got a lot more five-round testing done, so to speak, than Connor does. What makes you, out of all the things I think you would have given Connor in this fight, that surprises me you went with cardio.
Here's why. There'll be some other things, but here's why. I think when you watch Aldo fight, he is a very specific fighter who uses striking when he needs. He doesn't use any movement that he doesn't need to use,
okay.
Right? Which is, I think some people, that's probably why they don't get into what he does, because they look at that Cub Swanson double flying knee knockout and figure that that's what every fight's supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, with somebody like Connor, who's got a little bit of a reach advantage and comes at some interesting angles with a lot of punching, I just think that that's, to go back to the Ronda Rousey
punching
Holly,
cardio.
Punching cardio. Yes, I believe they have that at the YMCA.
We should do Monday shows more often.
You know, I think he can put some pressure on Aldo that will test the gas tank. And I think that's where you're going to beat Jose Aldo. I don't think you're going to – I think Connor's got a little bit harder punching power.
Yeah, but I mean not Connor. Jose Aldo was in there 5 rounds with Uriah Faber. And I think you would say, other than maybe Demetrius Johnson – if you go all the way down to 125, 110, whatever they're fighting at down there.
Sure.
I don't know if there's anybody that you would say, hey, here's your cardio monster, other than Uriah Faber.
I think you're mishearing me. I'm not saying he's going to push the pace like Demetrius Johnson or Uriah Faber and wear him out. I'm just saying he's going to have strength in later rounds that I don't know that Aldo will have. That's
okay.
What I'm saying. It's like a slight advantage here. I will say, I'll tell you this right now, I think Conor McGregor beats Uriah Faber. I don't care. You know,
I'm not saying that, but I'm just looking at this thing where you think Connor's going to be stronger in the later rounds, and I'm just not seeing it from the body of work we've seen. I'm not even saying you're wrong, but this is a guy that's only gone into the second round. I mean, his last 10, 12 fights at this point. You know, he's actually never been past the second round. Now you got me. See, when I'm doing research, he's Max Holloway, 3rd round. That's where he got one decision. So he took Max Holloway all 3 rounds.
Sure.
I've got these two next to each other up on my screen right now. There's no way I would say cardio is ever going to be his advantage in this fight.
We shall see. So, what do you think?
Might be punching cardio.
What do you think's good?
We don't know.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think
you're done poking fun at my. I know Billy Blanks.
This just
punching cardio.
No, I like the cardio. I think it's a thing, and you should trademark it and start making belts. Earlier today, I saw a very interesting comment from Chael Sonnen. I don't know if you've even had a chance to see this yet, but he thinks both of these fighters think they're going to lose, and that's why they're both talking so much,
which I think
is a very interesting dynamic, because I think if we were to look at this fight and we were kind of in a void, but we still had the things going on that happened with Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo coming back from the injury, I think I would say, okay, Conor won't shut up because he doesn't know if he can win this fight, because... whatever you want to say about that fight with Chad Mendez, it exposed him in a lot of respects. He was able to get the win. I'm not taking that away. He won the Intercontinental belt. What are we calling it?
Yes.
I would love if we did that with the interim championships. They were just the Intercontinental champions.
He beat Demolition. Yes. Okay.
So he won the IC belt, and I'm not taking that away from him. But I think in that fight, we all saw what we thought we were going to see from Chad Mendez in that fight, except it just didn't end up in a win. Jose Aldo's got to look at that fight and go, I've got this. This, if the guy fights the same way and hasn't gotten better since Chad's fight, I've got this. But it's very interesting because Chael Sonnen's saying, hey, I think both of these guys are nervous. I think both of these guys think they're going to lose, and they're trying to make up for it going into the fight. And if we thought things were amped up the first time, now you've got a fact both of these guys have a belt. And in this instance, you've got the confidence that comes with that belt for Conor McGregor, whether it's the IC belt or not. He's got a belt. He calls it. He says he's the champion, and Jose's got to come take it from him, and he's not going to take it from him. Jose Aldo's got to be in a situation where he's looking at this and going, that's not a real belt. So you'd think he would have the confidence, but I find it interesting when a guy who's done this as long as he has and is so into the mental part of the game as Chael Sonnen says, both of these guys think they're going to lose. So it's going to be an interesting fight to see how that shakes out.
It will be an interesting fight, but I guess you go back to the Chad Mendes fight, and you're only as good as your last fight, and I understand that stuff. He still comes out with a win, and the knee injury was legit.
Yes.
Right? Well, this is not the Ronda Rousey, I was tired because I had to do a movie sort of stuff that you say after you get shellacked by Holly Holm. This is actual, I have an injury, and I had to go rehab it and do what I needed to do. So I wonder if it's fair to put too much behind the exposedness that you feel you saw in the Mendez fight.
I don't know if exposed is probably the wrong word. And again, the guy got the win and he won the belt. I'm not taking that away from him. But again, I think you look at that fight and you see all the things that everybody's been saying about Conor McGregor. We're not sure how he's going to be able to wrestle. We're not sure how he's going to manage when he has to kind of fight off his back. A lot of people think that fight would have gone entirely differently if Chad would have pulled that takedown earlier in round two and been able to kind of maul him the way he did in the first round. I mean, that's always why they say that's where the term a puncher's chance came from. It's not the fact that it's luck. It's the fact that somebody's training that way. And, you know, if you land a punch the right way, you can knock somebody down a couple of belts. I mean, in boxing, if you're beating a guy and he lands the right punch, he can knock you right off your game. And that's part of MMA. But that all being said, I think you look at that fight and you look at the tape of the fight and you're Jose Aldo and you're his camp and you've done what you've done as many years as you have and as dominantly as you have. You can't really be scared of this fight, right?
I just, when you've got a guy, and I'm not sitting here telling you that Jose Aldo should be scared of Conor McGregor or that Conor McGregor has this a lock. I think this is going to be a very difficult fight, but I also think that Conor likes to fight backing up in a similar fashion that Holly Holm did, and I'm not going to make too many comparisons to these two things. So, but I just feel that there are some skill sets that Conor brings to this that I don't know that Aldo has seen in his previous fights. All of that said, it's going to be a tough putt to beat Jose Aldo. He's been doing this for 10 years for a reason. Mm-hmm. And he's, as I said earlier, he may not be the guy that's going to throw 928 punches in a row. He's going to be a guy who's going to pick his shots, and he's going to kick when it's time to kick and punch when it's time to punch and conserve all of that energy so that he can go those five rounds because he has to drop so much weight to come down in order to fight at 145. So he's learned how to adapt to that situation. It's going to be a tough fight for Conor McGregor. Mendez was a tough fight for Conor McGregor. This is where the fans win, and this is why they're super excited about it. The problem with this, of course, is it sucks up all of the oxygen, not only for the rest of this fantastic card, which we're going to get to in a second, but the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I have heard no human being that isn't the UFC on YouTube talk about Namajunas and Paige VanZant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody is talking about this fight, which has some indications.
Is that the Karate Hottie?
That is not the Karate Hottie.
Damn. Well,
when we get there, I will let you know.
Okay, thank you.
But has some implications as far as who's going to fight next at the Strawweight Championship. And again, as you and I made fun of 7 months ago, when Jędrzejczyk has to defend her title on Fight Pass, this is only happening on Fight Pass, and it's very difficult to get this product out and going and rolling when you really don't pay it the same sort of attention. And that's not to say that you should pay it the same attention that you do Aldo and McGregor, but when you put it up against Aldo and McGregor, it literally has no chance.
Well, I mean, this is a premium time of year, too. This is a tough time of year. Everybody's time is at a premium. Holidays around the corner. There's a lot going on, and I understand that, you know, the UFC is not going to necessarily stop, but it is very interesting. I'll be honest, until I walked in here, I did not even realize that Ultimate Fighter was coming up the day after. And again, I'm sure it's the same venue, so maybe there's some cost considerations there. You know, you run the same building, you can kind of compact those costs. So I kind of get what they're doing a little bit, but it feels like it's hard to even pay attention to those when we're talking about Aldo and McGregor. We're going to be talking about Weidman and Rockhold here, who've been relatively quiet, obviously, compared to Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo in these past couple of weeks. How do you think that fight goes?
I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm actually more excited in this fight because I think this is the fight at this weight class that people have been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the stylistic matchup between these two makes this one super interesting to watch. And I'm continuing to enjoy the evolution of Chris Weidman and wondering when and at which point do fans actually go, oh, you are actually the champion. Like, how many people does he have?
Are we not there yet?
I don't feel
that. Because if we're not there yet, and as much as
I'm looking at the media, they're not talking about this fight.
No,
so, of course, we're not there yet.
I get that. But that I think that could happen to almost any champion on this card.
If it's John Jones, you think that happens to him?
No.
Okay.
I said almost any champion.
Okay.
I think.
So is he there yet then?
So he's. I think he's close, but I mean, if you don't think he's there, this week isn't going to put him there. And I have a ton of respect for Luke Rockhold, and I think Luke Rockhold has a chance in this fight.
1,000%.
I think it's interesting you talk about the development of Chris Weidman. I think you've got two fighters here who we've seen a ton of development in the past couple of years. I mean, basically what we remembered from Luke Rockhold was some strike force stuff going on. Didn't he have the belt there? I'm not sure. Yeah, I think he won the belt there. To the guy that, okay, he was doing good, but then he lost to Vitor, to a guy that's become pretty dominant in the division, and he's a guy that's set up nicely for a title shot. Do I think he's going to win this weekend? No. I think Chris Weidman, I think, is at the top of his game. He's in that catbird seat as far as his age, his skill set, where he is in the division. I think he's a tough out for anybody in this division. But does Luke Rockhold have a chance? Of course. This could be a really interesting fight. This could be one of those things, too, where we see Weidman Rockhold two or three more times. And I know you always hate that. But the way this division always shakes out.
I hate it at divisions like this, mm-hmm. where right below it you've got Jacare and Yoel Romero. Right,
and I don't think soon. I'm just talking, these guys are relatively young, especially when we've seen a lot of these UFC champions go into their mid to upper 30s.
And if you're new to the show, what Ken's referring to is my hatred of Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, 29. And that's just because I don't know that we need to do that over and over and over again. It's like, I don't know that the older brother needs to continue to beat up on the younger brother just to prove his dominance.
Yeah, but one day.
No, that's not how it works after continued trauma to your head. That's not how it works.
No, and I'm not saying that you don't look at Jacare, and I know, let me look at your board here. Romero's on the card, right?
Yeah.
With Jacare?
I'm
just checking the board because there's 18.
They're what we call, the palate cleanser, which is interesting because I think that's going to be a kick-ass
way
to
they're not just a palate cleanser, but I think when we actually saw the card layout, we might have talked about this a couple episodes ago, I thought it was very interesting because basically what you have here is if for some reason that Weidman-Rockhold fight wasn't going to happen, you had your placeholders there, essentially.
Yep.
You could slide either of those dudes in there without a lot of people being upset about it.
No one should be upset about those if that were
to happen. That's not going to happen at this point either.
And
we're jinxing the hell out of this fight card doing a Monday podcast.
But, man, I just think this fight, although it's not getting the press that Aldo McGregor is, there has not, in my mind, there has not been an event in the UFC in 8 or 9 months that is as stacked as this one is.
Oh, no, of course not. I don't think that's even a question because you've got two championship fights and essentially a play-in fight. We talked a lot about college football the past couple weeks, so I called it a play-in.
Right.
Eliminator is what we call it in the fighting, but I like play-in now. So
Jacare
and Romero, they're going to fight. That's got to be the number one contender. Plus, the guys are on the card. So every bit of timing is going to work out on that because whoever wins the other fight, they're both going to have the same medical kind of suspensions and blah, blah, blah.
For sure.
So, I mean, we're essentially going to get our number one contender. We're going to get Weidman and Rockhold. And you know, kind of looking at that, I was questioning a little bit earlier with some of the motives. Maybe that's your best way to make that next Weidman pay-per-view. Have all the guys on the card with him. You've got Rockhold, he's going to fight, Jacare, and Romero.
An entire card of 85ers, that'd be so awesome.
Well, we've got a pretty good one right here.
No, I know, but I mean,
we've got basically semifinals, the final four of the dudes. If you wanted old school MMA, you've got the final four in that division sitting there right now.
For sure.
And the two winners are going to meet, and they're probably going to fight here in another 4 to 6 months, so that's pretty cool.
You also have Damian Maia taking on Gunnar Nelson, an exciting fight, which I think everybody hopes goes to the ground to see the magic that those two can do. One that's not going to go to the ground, knock on wood. Max Holloway and Jeremy Stephens, they are going to stand and bang if they know what's good for them to kick off the main event. And that is what you got with UFC 194.
Kevin Lee is on that card, though, so we might see him pop up.
On 194?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we might see him pop up. He's on the prelims.
He is on the prelims. You know, if you remember, Kevin Lee spent a fair amount of time trying to actually move to Thursday night, which was interesting because he wanted to fight Sage Northcutt.
Oh, that's right.
He's tired of Sage's.
See, we love Kevin on the show, and I've gotten to kind of watch his fights up close sometimes, and I like the guy, but I think he proves a point that a guy is doing the right things if people are already calling him out, and that's kind of what happened with Sage Northcutt. And I know you've been on the Sage bandwagon. You're driving the Sage bandwagon, aren't you?
I don't know that I'm driving it.
You were driving it for a while.
No, you
had the cruise control on.
I do think it. I think it's a really fascinating story, and it makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting because it's clearly a shift in the roles of this show. Normally, you're the guy who's looking at the business end of the UFC, and Sage Northcutt, what they're doing with him is clearly the business end of the UFC because Kevin's got a lot of points about, you know.
Yeah, but that's all business in the end. If you've got a guy calling somebody else out, come on, that's perfect. That's perfect. That's exactly what you want. Like, where else in this division at this level are you going to get that much interest? And you've got it because Kevin Lee basically called the dude out, wanted that fight, and these two both win. I think that's a natural progression here.
You also on those prelims have Uriah Faber. He will be in the catbird seat right before the Max Holloway-Jeremy Stephens fight. So a lot of stuff to consume on Saturday night, a big, big night. If you have questions as we're going through the show, we're taking them on Twitter using the hashtag WowShowMMA. We will get to those questions here in a little bit, but we, of course, have 77 more events to talk about. UFC has Tough 22. The finale is on Friday night with a fight that, again, this whole week is filled with treats for fans. This is another one that's quite the treat. Frankie Edgar and Chad Mendez. Again, what did you? What's the college game day terminology?
The play-in.
The play-in. Here is a play-in to see what is going to be next. If we do not get the Dana White favorite catchphrase of 2015, immediate rematch between Aldo and McGregor, you're kind of seeing what's going to happen between Edgar and Mendez. Your thoughts on what happens here?
This is going to be a really interesting fight. You know, Frankie Edgar was angling for a while to try to get that title shot again. He thought he should be there, and we're watching all these fights that are going to be happening on Saturday, and this is another one that has a lot of bearing on that division, because the great thing about that fight with Chad Mendez and Conor McGregor, and we talked about this back on the episode following the event, was that there were no losers that night with those two. Both of those guys came up big. Both of those guys were impressive for their own reasons. Conor McGregor basically got over the hump, got over the hill there that a lot of people said he wouldn't get over, and he wouldn't win gold. Chad Mendez, what was it, 2 weeks notice?
Yeah, it was just over 2 weeks, I think.
Just over 2 weeks notice. Basically, he had a week and a half of camp, if I remember the timeline correctly, and came in and took the fight and looked really good, was very close to winning the championship there. So essentially what you have here is, okay, we're going to keep our promise to you, Chad. Your chance to win the title is going to come next, but you've got to beat Frankie Edgar first. And Frankie Edgar is that guy over and over and over again. Every time we think, well, he can't do it again, can he? And he does it again. So this is going to be a big test. I think there could be some hemming and hawing if Frankie won, giving him a title shot right away.
You think so? I mean, it
would depend on the Aldo McGregor fight. It really would. I mean, if those guys go toe to toe and it's a close decision, you think we're not going to do that again? You're insane. They're going to give Ronda Rousey a rematch.
Yeah, totally. But let's say it's clean. Let's say it's clean and we actually don't get the immediate rematch, even though, you know, that they still probably are going to do that.
Yeah.
You don't think Edgar has deserved it? His last three opponents.
No, I think he does. But I mean, he's the guy he's been there a lot. And again, if you're looking at the division, I mean, what are you going to do? Have a Ricardo Lamas jump Frankie Edgar? I don't know. Is he on any of these cards? Now I'm looking at all the cards.
Well, he just fought last week.
So yeah, and he won.
Yes.
So I mean, he's top four. So I mean, I don't know. I would assume Frankie Edgar would get it. I'm just saying, this is Chad Mendez's fight. I'm not going to say they put it on a tee because Frankie Edgar is not put on a tee for anybody. But what they're doing is saying, okay, here's the fight. You get to prove yourself. You're going to get that rematch or you're going to get to fight Jose Aldo. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. And when you look at Mendez, right, he's got three losses, Conor and two to Jose Aldo, which is just –
which again could
just insane to think. You've been in this fight game for that long. And those are the only three losses that you have. That said, Edgar's last three wins are BJ Penn, Cub Swanson, and Uriah Faber.
I think I know where you're going with that. The Uriah Faber is still an impressive win.
No. I'm saying this is very impressive.
As much as I love BJ Penn, I don't know if that was that big a win at that point.
But still, I think a name win.
Yes, of course.
And I just, when you look at the resume between these two guys, this becomes a very exciting fight with a lot of similar styles. They're both wrestlers, both like to punch. They both like to stand in the pocket and bang a little bit. Again, when you talk about cardio, it's not an issue here. This is not an issue of cardio. I don't know that it's going to see a finish. I think you might see these guys just absolutely go to war and get a decision.
This is five rounds, which
will suck. But I just, given the way that I think a lot of their skill sets will negate each other, I don't see this one being a finish.
Well,
I could be totally wrong, but I don't see a finish
here. They could almost
stalemate
to the end. You never know.
And especially, well, especially if they've been told, right, that this is the next person gets the title fight, you're obviously going to be a little bit more conservative because you don't want to lose it.
Right.
As, you know, if you're Frankie Edgar, how many more cracks at the bat do you get?
And that's what I was saying earlier. It's just one of those instances where the guy's been in there a lot, and it, deservedly so. So you would have to look at this fight and kind of see if he just ekes out Mendez in this fight. I don't know if he's a sure thing. And it would depend, too, because McGregor winning opens up a lot of doors. Because even with Jose Aldo winning, if you wanted to put him in there against Chad Mendez again, we've seen it twice, right?
Yes.
This is a different Chad Mendez, probably, but we've still seen it twice.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Maybe, maybe not. So, I mean, you know, as far as the UFC goes, and we already know where their bets are, they're right. Hoping Conor McGregor can win this thing or at least keep it close.
Yes.
He keeps it close, we get the rematch.
Right.
And like Chael Sonnen said, I don't know how Conor feels going into this fight, but it seems like he's feathering the nest. Those are Chael Sonnen's words. First failure here. So it's very interesting, this dynamic. I know I mentioned earlier what Chael was saying. He also said about Jose Aldo is a guy who doesn't know how good he actually is. That's why he keeps bailing on fights, because he thinks he's got to be 100% every time, because he doesn't realize how good he is and how often other fighters come in just as sore, as hurt, or as tired as he would be.
Well, and you know, when you look at a guy like Jose Aldo, it's how much longer does he want to do it, right? You've been undefeated for 10 years. How many more fights do you even want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe it's injury, maybe it's perfection, maybe it's just, well, if I only have three more, I really would like to be at my best when I go do these three or four more. Because I've done however many, you know, you've done over the course of a decade, what, 50 fights, something like that?
8,312. Right. That's on Wiki.
Co-main event is Tony Ferguson taking on Edson Barboza. This was a dance card that changed a couple times. I believe it was Khabib Nurmagomedov for a moment, and he got injured again or didn't get back.
I thought we pulled everybody's visas after that fight.
Yes,
in Bellator.
That is what happened.
I thought that's what happened. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So
didn't they give a speech last night? I thought that's
okay.
What about?
Yes.
No?
So this is, again, a fight where you've got Tony Ferguson, who is undefeated in the UFC, taking on Edson Barboza. I cannot, for as much as I'm grousing about putting these three back to back to back, there are a lot of fights that I can't wait to see, and this is certainly one of them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is going to be great, because I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to DVR some of them, but it'll be great, because I mean, we've got a lot of fights that are going to have impact on what we're going to see in the future, and this is, I think, one of those too. I mean, we're going to see where Ferguson is in the UFC. This is one of those kind of fights where you kind of, and he's undefeated, and I'm not taking
he's
anything
not
away from
9-1. Sorry,
9-1.
Yeah,
he's undefeated in the UFC though, right?
Nope, 9-1 in the UFC.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was just looking it up, making sure.
Sorry. Anyways, as good as he's been, it's one of those fights, too, where you want to see, okay, where are you now? What does it look like now? And this is going to be one of those fights on Thursday or this Friday?
This is Friday. This is an interesting fight, because Ferguson versus Nurmagomedov, I think, is an instant title contender. Where Ferguson...
You think Barboza... It's not? I mean, Barboza's still very
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying Barboza is very impressive and sets a bunch of different problems for Tony Ferguson, being the striking and the directions in which Barboza likes to throw kicks and stuff like that. But at 155, it's undeniable that Nurmagomedov would be a bigger test than Edson Barboza. That's not to say that this isn't a hard fight or a very fun fight for the fans, but I think... you know, and we'll talk to Tony Ferguson here in a minute, but I think Nurmagomedov was an instant title contender fight.
Well, I think that was probably because Nurmagomedov's that guy that we're talking about for a title. So obviously you beat that guy.
If he doesn't hurt himself on the way to the couch or whatever,
wearing those hats or...
Yeah, it's always the hats. Also on this card on Friday night, you got Joe Lozon and Evan Dunham, a fight that... If you're a jiu-jitsu fan and a boxing fan, is going to be a very fun fight for you. And one that I thought was interesting, Ken, that this hasn't happened before.
Do we have people watching UFC that aren't jiu-jitsu or boxing
no,
fans?
No. But I mean, these two guys.
I wish they'd stop punching. Oh, why don't they get off the ground?
These two guys have.
I need a floating fight league.
We should do these on Monday all the time. What I mean by that is that these two guys are fantastic on the ground and have developed a striking game that sets up the stuff on the ground that you want to see. And the fact that these two haven't fought before, I just find is very interesting because it seems like their skill sets align very nicely and just timing has kept it from happening, but you get to see it on Friday night. Kawajiri and Jason Knight, that will also kick off the main card for Tough 22, which wraps up just about all of the action that we have on Friday night, save for the prelims.
What about that UFC title eliminator, Gabe Gonzaga and Konstantin Arokin?
You will also have the Tough finale fight, but since I think most of
us... Would you rather watch the Tough finale fight or Gabe Gonzaga versus Konstantin Arokin?
Here's what I would say about that. I would say that if you're only going to have one fight in the Tough finale, you will never hear me complain. It's when we go to Brazil or Mexico or wherever and we have 4.5 hours of Tough finale fights, I think that's when you've lost me.
You'll hear me complain.
I do not want to watch. I don't want to watch that many Tough fights.
I just want to be clear.
From guys that...
When are the semifinals?
They'll be Wednesday night.
Oh, they're taped.
Yeah, they tape the show, right. and then they
thought we were going to go old school, like tournament in one night kind of deal. Like, I'll tune into that.
They do the show on Thursday, and then immediately after they have to roll into the octagon.
Well, yeah, or just, you know, do same night, and then the finals are totally different from anybody else fought because those guys are all injured.
You'll catch it on FS1 on Wednesday, and then you will see it on Friday night. So that will happen.
Are you going with Artem Lobov, Saul Rogers, Marcin Wiza? Did they make these names up? Who are these guys?
I love that you don't watch the show.
I don't know. I don't. Well, neither does Conor McGregor, and he was a coach. So I'm in good company at this point.
Clearly you are.
I like this, too, because I feel like – I haven't watched a lick of the show, but I'm going to review it for you. I feel like Conor McGregor comes in and reads the notes off his iPhone like day one and then never shows up again. And I feel like Uriah Faber's a dude that's rolling with these dudes like 5 a.m. to midnight every day, like really wants to be the coach.
Yep.
And I'm looking at these finals and like three of McGregor's guys are in the finals, the semifinals, and it's just one of Uriah's guys. So I feel like this is going to be an all McGregor final and he doesn't care. And just like Uriah's chin is going to cry. Because he just probably takes this a lot more seriously than he ever should.
Undoubtedly, he took it a lot more seriously than Conor McGregor did. And I think part of that is because Conor thought that was going to be the fight, right? It was going to be Uriah and Conor McGregor because Aldo wasn't going to come back or whatever the story was. And then it turns out it's not a fight. So then it becomes less interesting for a guy like that who has to actually train for a totally different fight that has nothing to do with the guy he's coaching against. Thursday night on Fight Pass, a Fight Pass exclusive, you will get...
Hold on, let me get my $9.99 out.
You will get UFC Fight Night 80, Rose Namajunas versus Paige VanZant as the main event. Jim Miller and Mike Chiesa, who may fight Paige VanZant and Sage Northcutt when it's all said and done because they're super angry that there have been 5 embedded episodes for this card alone, and they are not on any of them. And Mike Chiesa.
They do embeddeds for these?
Mike Chiesa is in Las Vegas.
Well, that's because they got the Karate Hottie in the other
so
fight.
He had an epic tweet over the weekend where he said, okay, let me get this straight. I've been in Vegas for 3 weeks. I'm 20 minutes away from the UFC headquarters, and you go to Texas to do 3 embeddeds with Sage Northcutt.
Well, to be
I don't get it.
Fair, I mean, clearly the camera crew's in Texas. Being in Vegas doesn't help him out in that regard. Yes, I mean, come on. Come on, Mike. A couple things together here.
That was his point, is that won't help him. So that's your card. You get Jim Miller, Mike Chiesa.
Grab yourself a Skype or something, bro.
Sage Northcutt and Cody Pfister, which seems to me, and I think if Kevin...
I don't even know her.
If Kevin Lee were on this card, or you know, on the show, I should say, he would certainly say that Cody Pfister is being set up to lose so that they can continue to build this Sage Northcutt story. And this card in particular has turned into the Paige VanZant Sage Northcutt show. And if you watch any of the embeddeds, that's all it is. It's been 4 episodes of Sage Northcutt and then watching Paige VanZant work out, and that's the end of it. Which, again, is certainly what the UFC wants to do. They want to build stars. Dana has been not shy at all saying that the future of this company is built on people like Sage Northcutt and Paige VanZant. But I think you see people like Jim Miller and Mike Chiesa who are on this card and get no love on the embedded video series take exception to that. You see people like Kevin Lee, whose only loss is to Al Iaquinta, which was a razor-thin margin at best, thinking to himself, what in the hell do I have to do to get your attention? Mm-hmm. I'm doing all of this work on my own. I'm making all of this noise, and I'm not getting the Sage Northcutt treatment. And so what do I have to do?
Okay, okay, we got to stop, though, don't we, with everybody getting pissed off about embeddeds? I mean, they're great for what they are. But, I mean, if it's not Aldo and McGregor, I'm not watching that, man. And I know you really love them.
No.
I don't want to take that away from you. But
and I'm not asking you to.
But why is everybody getting so mad? Just go out there and fight. Just go out there, fight, finish the fight, make them pay attention to your fight. Why do we need somebody with a GoPro following you around a church so you can tell us you love your family? Well, everybody loves their family unless you're a sociopath.
Let me
need another YouTube video about doing this for my family. No kidding, we all do everything we do for our families.
Let's slow down for a second. Let me say that when you live in a world like the UFC that is run by this weird agreement with Reebok, where you're not getting the money that you need to get, and they are paying you based on the amount of people that give a crap about you, maybe the embedded things start to matter to you. Mm-hmm. And if you think that Sage Northcutt is getting 3-3 to fight in the UFC, you're not paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. He's not getting 3-3 to fight in the UFC. He's probably getting paid way better than that, regardless of his tenure in the UFC. And I think that's where these guys have the point. It's not that they're not on YouTube. Kevin Lee and Sean Desai could make their own embedded series, that nobody is stopping them from doing that. But what I think they're talking about is the escalation of a guy who fought once in the UFC against a guy who tested positive for marijuana and had a losing record heading into this fight seems a little bit preposterous if you're in the industry. Again, fully within the right of the UFC to do whatever they would like with their stars. However, when you set up a meritocracy and they don't feel that the meritocracy is being followed for certain specific people, that's why you get the embedded pushback.
Welcome to the world, UFC fighters. yes. I don't disagree with a thing you said, but I do find it interesting. We're in this world where everybody's got to be coddled, and these are fighters, and I get it. Everybody's got ego. Everybody's got talent that they're worried about. Just go out and fight. I mean, you're on the third card of the weekend. That's going to be on Thursday if people remember to watch it. I'm not kidding. I'm really, you know, if you're worried about your embedded coverage, you need to reset your priorities here. I mean, this is not a card anybody's selling, essentially. This is an availability for the Fight Pass subscribers, and it's a cool event, and the UFC is doing tons of events like this, and great for them. And you know what? If a guy's making 3-3, this is an opportunity he didn't have to make 3-3 2 years ago.
Fair enough.
So stop. Stop. I don't want to hear about the embeds. I swear, if they... When were the Ultimate Fighter finale fights? Is that Friday?
That's Friday.
Okay, because as soon as they start showing the stupid video packages, enough.
But that's,
we get it. We all have kids.
They
all need food. That's why we're doing this for... I'm doing this for my kids. Yeah, we get it. Christmas is coming. We all need a couple extra bucks for whatever stupid toy we're going to buy them this year. We get it, dude. Just stop. I don't care.
All right. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Tony Ferguson about his lack of embedded and see where he stands.
Yeah, ask him how many embeds he needs to be happy, because I'm going to guarantee for Tony it's zero. It's going to be zero.
As always, you can ask questions using Twitter. Use the hashtag WowShowMMA. We'll be back. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans. Lots of fights this weekend, as we talked about. The Tough 22 finale takes place on Friday night. And joining us in the co-main event, it will be my dear friend Tony Ferguson. He is taking on Edson Barboza. Tony, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Eric?
I am fantastic. Very excited about this weekend. Lots of fights to talk about, but you specifically taking on Edson Barboza. Before we talk about the fight, I think the question on everybody's mind is, please, please, please tell me you're taking the hoverboard out to the octagon.
They let me do it, actually. It's kind of nice. It was funny. I wrote it the other day, and the battery didn't tell me it was going to turn off, and I ate shit. And I thought it was my balance broken off. And I had to turn it back on, and the thing didn't turn back on, so I didn't feel half as bad.
Very funny. So maybe that's not the wise idea to take that out to the octagon. So big fight this weekend. You're taking on...
Yeah, I don't think it'll be wise.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll print and do something.
For sure. You're taking on Edson Barboza. Obviously a change in opponent. You don't seem like somebody who's flappable about that sort of thing. Was there any sort of hiccup in the game plan when the when Nurmagomedov drops out and you get Barboza, or do you just press on with your game plan?
On a serious note, it pissed me off. I was preparing for a Sabo-type, heavier-type fighter, a Russian, obviously, a little bit more aggressive, not going to try to take a shot, just going to go in there and just gung-ho. He hadn't fought in 2 years, so I was looking forward to that. I got up to 201 pounds, and then the opponent switch happened, and it just had to throw up off my camp a little bit because I was lifting heavy. But as soon as we fought with the opponent switch, I immediately contacted my team. We made the necessary adjustments, and we're more than prepared for Edson Barboza this time.
Well, your Instagram and your Twitter look like you're having a blast this camp. Can you talk about how much fun this camp has been? I know you've said it on Twitter and Instagram, but what made this camp so much fun? Because I would think that shift in your camp would kind of throw a wrench in the works, but you seem like you're in great spirits right now heading into fight week.
You have to. It's very important in this fight game, especially for me. I don't fight with anger at all. I'm a very big technician, tactical kind of person, so the more level-headed I am in there, the clearer focus I can think and make stuff happen. In fight camp, it was very awesome, very hard. The picture that you guys got to see, me having fun, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad you guys are watching that because you aren't actually going through the hell with me when I'm actually going through it. So it's interesting in the fact that you think I'm always having fun, which is awesome, so I mean, I'm doing my right job. So it's awesome. That's good.
Well, I mean, I've known you for a number of years. I've had the opportunity to kind of roll around with you. So I know your personality, and I also know what those camps can be like. You just seem to put on a really game face for the fans and make it look like it's a blast. And you're obviously mindful saying that this life isn't for everybody, but the camp by itself, at least on social, looked like you were having a good time.
It's amazing, dude. I have to admit, it's an amazing opportunity to do what I do. It's a passion that I have. The career choice that I made and the opportunities that the UFC has presented to us is amazing. Even as far as the Reebok deal and no sponsor inside the Octagon, if you want to go that route. The UFC's treated me awesome. It's kind of been a mailroom job for me. I started at the bottom, and I'm working my way to the top. I have a 6-fight win streak. I'm going for my 7th with Edson Barboza. I'm ranked number 7 in the world, and nothing has been given to me. I've earned this shit the whole entire way. It's been a very, very awesome, amazing, beautiful process. Just like jiu-jitsu, every transition has been amazing, very tedious. And sometimes you make a mistake, but you got to adjust to it, mature, and be able to overcome that and have the next mission.
And Bleacher Report wrote a great article on you last night that I know you retweeted, talking about how you're the best lightweight at this point that nobody's talking about, given what's happening this weekend with Aldo and McGregor. That makes some sense. But there was something in the article that I can't wait to ask you about, and that is, after that fight in Josh Thompson, you essentially said that was you. You know, not to be disrespectful, but that wasn't the best performance according to you. That was you just still kind of working some stuff out. Practicing seems disrespectful, but you were still working some stuff out, which should scare the shit out of people at the lightweight division if that is you not at your best.
No, it wasn't myself at my best. At the weigh-in, he got in my face, and he pissed me off. So the plan was obviously to go in there and finish Thompson, and I had numerous opportunities to do that. But maybe subconsciously he wanted to go in there and just kick his butt because the dude was kind of being a dick. You know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to spike at the fight if the fight's already hot.
Right.
For me, I don't have to stir it, because I could be easily done. But I like to do my talking inside the octagon with my hands. I'm from Michigan. You guys know it. I'm a hard worker. I like to have fun. But when somebody gets in your face, what are you going to do? You going to back down? No, man. Nobody from Michigan does that. We're very tough. We're a lot of white collar, too. It's just one of those places where you don't get stepped on, man, especially in the octagon. I have myself, and I know there's a couple other fighters from Michigan, but for me, it's myself inside the lightweight division. I believe nobody has the potential to beat me inside this octagon. That's my choice. I'm my own worst enemy. I'm very well prepared. I've never ate as clean as I've ever eaten in my entire life for this camp. From 201 pounds to what I am right now, I won't tell you exactly what I am, but I'm pretty close. That's almost 45 pounds.
That is an incredible story, my friend. Edson Barboza this weekend, excited about the fight, excited to see what happens. What are you expecting from him? Just more of the same, or do you think he's scouted you properly that you might see a different Edson Barboza on Friday night?
Mitchell Barbosa has been doing the same thing for a long time. He's got a lot of spinning. He's very crafty stuff. He's very tricky. But I see him as one-dimensional. You can't learn anything overnight unless you're Tony Elkwood Ferguson. You know, and you put forth every single amount of energy in the world and try to do it. You know, I just talk to myself in third person, but I mean that in the sense of most respect towards Edson Barbosa, because I'm going to go there and kick his ass. He hasn't prepared well enough for this. He had a camp full of champs over there, I guess, what they wanted to call it. He had Eddie Alvarez, Edson Barbosa, Frankie Edgar, and I'm sure a couple other people there, Ray Longo's in, you know, over there and somewhere else too, actually. It's funny how it is, but I don't need a huge team to get stuff done. I need the right people in my corners to make sure that I can do the right things inside that octagon. And I just don't see Edson Barbosa posing a big threat, because I'm not waiting for his game. I'm going to infuse my game, and he's going to have to make the adjustments, not myself. My conditioning is immense. So if he can back it up by running away and trying to throw kicks on his back pedals, awesome. He'll have an easy day. But I guarantee I'm going to catch him and take his ass down, pass his guard, and I'm going to finish this dude.
Tony Ferguson joining us. Always a blast. I know you got a million of these to go, so I will let you bounce. So excited to see the fight on Friday night, the tough finale. Tony Ferguson, Edson Barbosa. As always, Tony, do you prefer Instagram or Twitter? Where do you like people to find you?
Hey, follow me on Instagram at Tony Ferguson XT. Follow my next play. I appreciate it. And, make sure you go out there and donate a toy.
Have a great weekend, man. Can't wait to see your arm raised in the octagon on Friday night.
All right, sounds good. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You too, my friend. See ya. And there he goes, Tony Ferguson. We'll be back in a second to wrap up the rest of the show. If you need anything, as always, questions, hashtag on Twitter, WowShowMMA, or you can get at us at WowShow on Twitter or on Facebook. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holtren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Big thanks to Tony Ferguson for joining us right ahead of the Ultimate Fighter finale on Friday night, as well as UFC 194. And, of course, Thursday night is going to be Fight Night 80. That's going to be exclusive to Fight Pass. And as always, if you got questions, jump on Wow Show MMA. You can get them answered. We will do that every single week, so you can ask all the way through the weekend.
Maybe you want to know if we love our families.
The answer will be unequivocally yes.
I do this for my family. We
no
get it.
No
we
hedge.
It. There's your summary of every embedded and every UFC Ultimate Fighter preview video package we've got.
No hedge there. Okay, so a couple questions to answer today on the show before we take off. Obviously, Benson Henderson won big this past weekend when we were off. And if you missed the announcement, the reason we were off for 2 weeks is because I went and had a baby. So
you love that baby.
Which I love. And this is why I'm doing the show. It's for my baby. Benson Henderson had a big...
It's all about him.
Had a big win.
It's all about him.
And immediately said, hey, look, I would like to retire in the UFC, but I want to go test the waters because I think this meritocracy, as we talked about, or the money that we get with this Reebok deal is insane. So I'm going to go.
Is he going to get more embeddeds with Bellator? I don't think so.
I don't know. But
what do they do?
But the question.
Do they have people drinking Miller Lite behind the scenes?
The question here is from
Dave and Buster's.
King Rhino on Twitter. He wants to know, Ken, do you see Benson Henderson or even George St. Pierre jumping over to Bellator?
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them.
If George comes back, he's definitely got to go to Bellator now. For those who haven't been following along, he talked a little bit about the testing issues that happened during the Johnny Hendricks, I guess you could say fiasco at this point, because we talked about it a lot on the show. We were trying to get WADA, NADA,
right.
Trying to figure out all the ADAs. And apparently threw UFC under the bus to a point that Dana White was not happy with. So he said George is never coming back. So George will not be back in the UFC. If he goes somewhere, it will be Bellator. I think Benson Henderson was kind of set up to say, you know, we're glad you were here, but thanks, but no thanks. Because you were asking the question on Facebook. Why would they put a guy on at 10 in the morning on a Saturday on a college football weekend?
Right.
I mean, this thing was buried. If you hadn't told me about it, I wouldn't have known it was there. I think it's exactly why it's there. Because you know what? Benson Henderson, we talked about it when he was champion. He's not that guy that really drove viewership. He didn't drive ratings. He didn't drive revenue. And he wins and wins and wins, and then he lost the championship, and he's had a couple close fights. He's a guy that even when he wins, you're not really that excited about. So, you know what? Hey, dude, why don't you headline this as a former champ? I'm going to put you wherever they were. It was Korea,
Seoul.
Right?
Seoul.
We're going to put you in Seoul at 10 in the morning for our East Coast viewers, and we're going to call it good. You want to go see what's out there? Go see what's out there. You want to come back? Come back. I don't think this is a situation where they're that worried about Benson Henderson showing up on Bellator, so to speak. I don't think they really worry about that at all, but, I mean, this certainly is an instance where a casual fan's not even going to realize where he's gone or that he hasn't been around a while because they don't even know about that fight.
Well, because you have – I mean, A, because you have so many events, and B, because of when that fight was, which I guess leads me to a follow-up to ask you two questions. One, do you feel that that will be more the norm as guys that they don't automatically re-sign get to the last fight on their contract? And before you answer that question, can you fill in our listeners a little bit on contract negotiations and perhaps that if they really liked him, they wouldn't let him finish that fight?
Well, anybody that they want to get re-signed is going to be re-signed. They're not going to have a fight in the UFC, essentially, unless the UFC is just not sure. And I want to point to Josh Koscheck as being an example here. He's a guy they let go, and Dana White is notorious for loving those dudes from The Ultimate Fighter. Like, he will make a spot for any of them. They've always got a job. That was a guy that they knew that they basically had gotten what they could out of him in this instance. So that's why I think they were able to say, okay, you know what? You want to go find some more money. You want to cash somebody out, somebody else's check. That's cool. And, you know, they let him do that earlier this year. And that's one of those dudes where Dana White likes him. He really didn't have much to say bad about him. And Dana White has a lot of bad things to say about a lot of people sometimes. So I think if you look at that and see that happen, you go, okay, they're going to go ahead and let some of these dudes go. They're not going to necessarily say, man, we've got to keep every guy just because he had a name at some point. And I think Benson Henderson, obviously the biggest name of those dudes where the name is all they've kind of got at this point. I'm not saying he's a bad fighter, but I'm saying as far as revenue and ratings, he's not a guy that was driving either of those. They gave him a shot on Fox, what, 13 times it felt like
right.
in 1 year?
Right.
Every month. Benson Henderson's fighting on Fox for the championship. Nobody cared that much. And this is a dude that they're not going to worry about going to Bellator if that's what he does. Is he going to do that? I don't know. He says he wants to retire in UFC. How much money does Bellator actually have? There's got to be some value in that type of thing where you get a guy from UFC who has some name value. But again, that guy didn't drive ratings or revenue over at UFC. He's not going to do it for Bellator.
And speaking of ratings and revenue, next question is Henry Cejudo and DJ has not been booked. Do you think if they book it, they'll force Cejudo to fight in Vegas, who has blocked it because they haven't,
right.
they haven't released Nick Diaz?
I don't know. I think that's their only fight at that division. Why not just – I don't think it's worth the headache to move it. You know what
so
I mean?
You mean they make him fight is what you're saying?
No. I don't think it's worth the headache to try to make him fight in Vegas. You got enough going on for Vegas. I mean, if the guy's going to have some type of political stance, I don't think it hurts that division. That division's not one that you need to make John Jones and Daniel Cormier in Vegas type of thing in the future whenever that happens. That's not this fight. I mean, and plus, for DJ, he's usually fought in the Northwest in California.
Right.
Because they like putting him in, you know. They like padding the arena, essentially, and that's the only places you can do it.
Where they have the smaller arenas that you can make look bigger.
Well, and that's where he's from, too, yeah. right?
Yep.
I don't know. He's always wearing that Xbox logo, so I assume everybody's from...
That he's from Seattle.
Seattle,
yes.
If they wear an Xbox logo all
Xbox
the time.
Or flannel, that's the way you can tell.
That's how I know. So I don't think they'll make... The UFC, for all the bashing they tend to get, they're relatively fighter-friendly, so they're not going to force... There's a lot of guys who couldn't fight in California. They didn't force them to try to fight in California, you know,
right.
Because they knew that there could be an issue. Not that they were suspended. They obviously recognize the suspensions. But there's a lot of guys who just aren't comfortable in California, and they're not going to make them necessarily fight there. I don't think this would be a case either, because the MGM Grand isn't going to lose their ass because they didn't get a DJ fight, you know?
Right, right.
That's not going to be a thing.
All right, next question. What is the fight, and you might not even have an answer to this, but fight you're most looking forward to in 2016 that may not even have been announced?
That's Cormier Jones. I don't want it to be next, but that's the one I'm looking forward to.
You don't want it to be, what do you mean by that? You need Jones?
John has to fight somebody else. I don't know who. Or that suspension's BS. I've talked about that.
I know you have talked about it, but I've read and seen nothing that indicates that that would happen.
I'm just saying, it should be somebody else.
Okay, who would you put him against then? What would be your tune-up fight? Sage Northcutt?
Yes, H. Northcutt. Bader, I don't think is a bad deal. Everybody's talking about how Bader needs to get a shot, essentially, and he's kind of been overlooked. You can't overlook him if he beats John Jones.
Do you think that there's anything, and this is not a question anyone else answered, I just riffing off that. Do you think there's anything to the Cormier conversation about messing with the magic sauce, so to speak, with John Jones?
The weightlifting?
Bulking up, yeah.
I mean, you can always say that, too. I mean, Joe Rogan always tells us you need a lot of oxygen for those muscles.
He might not tell us that for too long because July the contract's up.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that and the penis and everything later, I'm sure, on the show with Cyborg. I don't know. I Daniel Cormier would be better to judge that than I would. He's a professional athlete. He's fighting in the UFC. He's found a sweet spot, essentially, for himself. He's not the best, quote-unquote, built guy in that division by any means. But right now, he's the best dude in that division. And, he, you know, he's kind of found a way to do that. This could be very interesting. But on the other hand, John Jones knows his body. You know, he's got professional athletes in his family, too. I mean, he's not just trying out weightlifting.
Sure.
I'm sure he kind of knows what he's doing. And he's going to feel where he is, and he knows what did and didn't work for him. I do think it's very interesting during a break to try something new like this.
When you can't actually test it,
you get far. Yeah, you get farther and farther away from, you know, being in the cage with somebody like Daniel Cormier. I'm sure you've got sparring partners. I'm sure you're still in the gym doing those things. But you're farther away from what you actually did in a fight at this point. So are those things affecting him? I don't know. Maybe he wants to get even stronger. Maybe he feels like he's not strong enough. I mean, he's not the biggest dude in his family. He's
right.
got NFL
right.
brothers that are in the NFL that he's smaller than. So, I mean, he's got some room. We've talked about him going up to heavyweight for a long time. I don't know if that's messing with what he's doing. We'll find out. I mean, maybe we'll never find out. Maybe it's totally going to mess him up, but he's just that much better that he'll still keep winning.
Fair enough. Okay, if you've got any questions this weekend, as we have three events in a row, you can ask your questions on Twitter at WowShowMMA, just hashtag WowShowMMA, or at WowShow on Twitter. Ken, have a great weekend. We will talk.
You want to talk about Ronda Rousey being tired?
No. Fine. We'll do it.
Get her a blankie?
That's fine.
That's all I want to do, just to see you just get upset.
Well, no, so I wasn't even going to talk about
I'm not
about
even
this.
Mad about Ronda Rousey being tired. Let's say she was exhausted.
Sure.
I just think it's very interesting that Dana White's the one that's coming. He knows that this rematch is a bunch of bull, but he needs his star back in the cage. Because you don't get a rematch after a fight like that. You don't show anything. So you've got to give everybody a reason. So, okay, well, she was really exhausted, guys. So I want to catch her a break. Because let me go back to your board here. Are you going to tell me that Max Holloway isn't going to be tired going into his fight, working the bottom of the card on UFC 194? Are you telling me that, you know, Paige Van Zandt isn't tired, isn't working hard as she gets ready to headline a fight that's only on the internet, essentially?
Well, let's use a great example that I think achieves parity in this. You don't think that Conor McGregor's... I mean, we just put something up today where he's with some MMA company doing reading mean tweets, you know, doing the Jimmy Kimmel thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's running around doing all of this press. Yeah, it's not... He's not doing this today showing GMA, but he's doing just as much press. It's just not at the ascension level of Ronda Rousey. But you cannot... I'm sorry. I am sorry. You cannot go in there, get beat. And I know she didn't say it, and I know this is totally unfair to put on her, but I'm going to put it on somebody. So somebody at the UFC named Dana White, it is absolutely unfair for you to say that while Holly Holm is in Albuquerque celebrating this victory. It is absolutely unfair and unfounded and unnecessary at this point. If you want to do that in January when there's some distance, okay, fine. But running out here sounds like your daughter got beat up by a girl who she didn't expect to beat up on because she was a bully on the playground. And you've got to circle back around and say, well, my daughter was tired that day, or she didn't have the right juice box. So therefore, your daughter, who didn't deserve to beat her heretofore rematch.
Yeah, and I think it's disrespectful to the champ. If you want to go that angle, I really don't think – I don't understand. You want your champs to be champs. You want them to have won because they were the better fighter.
Sure.
That will make it much better if Ronda Rousey comes back and we're able to beat Holly Holm. Let's say Ronda comes back in the rematch, beats Holly Holm. Well, Holly Holm was never really that. You didn't build up your championship there. You took away from it.
Sure, because I mean,
you said that somebody thought your championship wasn't important enough to go in at 100% for. That they thought whatever C role she had in whatever movie she had, Again, I'm not trying to bash Ronda Rousey, but I mean, let's look at it. I know she's had an eye on Hollywood, and we keep saying that.
Sure.
But I've seen her in the movies. She's passable. She's not going to go win an Oscar at any point.
Right.
She's not The Rock even, and I know she fashions herself that way. She doesn't have that personality. She does. If you want to know whether or not Ronda Rousey's likable, go look at the tweets 10 minutes after she lost that fight. She's not as likable as a lot of people think she is, and a lot of people love that about her. A lot of people don't. I think it's disrespectful for Holly Holm. I think it's disrespectful to your champion. I think it's disrespectful to your championship, and you're essentially telling us, oh, Ronda didn't think it was important enough to be ready for this fight. And whether or not it was Holly Holm or Cindy on the street, she's still going in there to fight for that belt, and you just devalued it with what you said.
That said, the only upside of this story is you at least know that Ronda Rousey needs a MyPillow on her Christmas list.
There you go.
Get some sleep. Okay, follow along at Twitter at Wow Show or on Facebook at Wow Show and questions, wowshowmma.com. And Wow Show MMA, the hashtag. You can get all of those anywhere you go on the internet. Have a great weekend. We will talk next week. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.